we love you so. We submit ourselves unto you tonight. Lord, we belong to you. You said we were not our own. We were bought with a price. We were purchased with holy blood. That Jesus came and shed his blood that we might belong to you, be wholly yours, completely yours. Sometimes we forget. But tonight we gather together as one and we submit ourselves to you. We come and sit at your feet like Mary came to sit at your feet. And we want to hear what you have to say to us. And we want you to teach us, help us with our issues and our problems and our plans and our dreams. Put us on the right path, Lord. You're the only one that can do it. So we give ourselves to you. And Lord, if we have other ideas that maybe don't line up with yours, help us to see that and put them away. Put them aside for your ideas and your plans, your dreams, your ministry. Amen. What you want. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, hallelujah. Glory to God. Tonight's going to be a little bit different. God's been talking to me for a couple of weeks about people that are having issues and problems. And this is really a regular thing for everyone. I think everyone deals with this. But it's the issue of our emotions. And what God has been showing me, and really, actually, he's been showing me this for years because of my background. I came from, if you knew me 30 years ago, you would truly not recognize my personality because God has so changed me over the course of the years. But that didn't just happen. I sought him tooth and toenail to change me. And the reason was I was emotionally driven. I was a person that was led around and pushed around by my own emotions. And I was kind of laughing because if you've ever seen a stock chart that goes up, down, up, you know, they're supposed to go up, 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 down, up, 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 up. That's how they're supposed to go. But if you've ever seen one of those, it's called a rolling stock. It goes up, down, up, down, up, down. Well, that was my emotions. That was, if you could see an emotion of my charts back in those days, my emotions were directly related to what was going on in my circumstances. So as a Christian, I was failing. I was, as a believer, I wasn't walking in a way that was helpful to the Lord because I was so ruled by my emotions and my circumstances. And my circumstances were not really good. And so I was not walking in victory. Now, the odd part of this was I was a very strong intercessor, probably one of the strongest intercessors in our church. I was led by the Spirit of God. I knew how to hear from God. I understood things about the Word. But I had not understood about emotions. And because I didn't, I was still failing. And because I was like that, I was what I would call now a yo-yo Christian, you know. And as my day, so my emotions were. And I didn't know back in that time that I had a choice in the matter. You know, most people don't think a lot or analyze a lot. Their emotions are why they think the way that they do, and that's pretty normal. People, well, I just feel this way. I feel depressed. I feel sad. I feel hurt. And those are honest and legitimate feelings. God gave us emotions. We're not to just pretend they don't exist. You know, I was good at that too. Emotions are actually a gift from God, and they can be a great thing if they serve God. And one of the things that God has told me is that our emotions can make a great servant, but a horrible master. In other words, it's like he showed me like a person trying to lead this big giant dog. Well, have you ever been with a big dog that isn't trained to be led? He leads you around where he wants to go, and you're flying along behind him trying to, you know, manage him. But if you get a dog that, no matter what size, and you get him to understand and align with where you're going, that can actually be joyful. That can actually be fun. Well, emotions are like that. Emotions can be a nightmare that drag you around, you know, up, down. You know, I was actually so bad that I despaired of life because my circumstances were very bad. I had reason to be sad. I had reason to be fearful. I had reason to feel hopeless. And I know that this is being recorded, so I just want to say this for anyone that might hear the message. If you are a person that has been deeply wounded or deeply abused, don't feel like I'm making light in any way or saying, well, just don't feel that way or like it's an easy thing. I know that I want to hopefully give some tips and pointers how to overcome But I don't want to in any way ever feel condemned, like I shouldn't feel like this. Feelings are feelings. That's what they are. We're human. We have feelings. But what happened to me was I realized that my way of doing it was wrong. I knew I was making a mess of things because my emotions were so strong. And I knew that I was being too responsive to my circumstances, and I didn't know how to change it. And my circumstances were a mess. And so I began to really seek the Lord because I saw the scriptures that said we're to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I knew I wasn't immovable. I was very movable. But I also began to realize that for me, my goal in life was to be more like Jesus. And what I saw in his life is he was never moved. And he had far tougher circumstances than any of us have ever had. He had people who hated him without reason. He would go in a synagogue and be treated horribly by the leaders. Go in the temple, be talked about as though he were the devil himself and he was the living Son of God. His own family came to collect him because he was out of his mind. And what I saw is he never responded at all to that. He wasn't moved. He just kept right on teaching. You know, if you go and you study, there's one chapter where four different groups of people come against him and say things about him. And he just keeps right on teaching. You know, he's not moved. And the reason he's not moved is his emotional happiness wasn't based on their response. His emotional happiness wasn't based on his circumstance. He already knew he was going to be killed. Now, as people of faith, we don't like to talk about the fact that bad things might happen to us. So I think sometimes faith people, and I am a faith person, sometimes faith people fall in the trap of saying, well, everything's always going to be okay, nothing bad will ever happen. Well, the Bible says that man is born to tribulation. He's born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. There are some things that will happen. We will have seasons. Every person in here has had seasons. Every person in here has had trouble. Every person in here has had times where there's things that have to be dealt with. But what I found out is God has laid out some things in his word that can help us to completely overcome. Now, I'm not usually a person that recommends notes. Sometimes I've told people, if I'm preaching by the Spirit, you know, just let me talk into your heart. But tonight I'm trying to give you more of a toolkit, so feel free to take notes. I'm trying to give you something. Some sermons, you may go home and say, you know, that was a good sermon, Lord, help me with that. And then you kind of forget it and go on, okay? And I've done that too. But some are, this is how you do it. This is a process you can walk through for the rest of your life that will change the way you do life and the way you do Christianity that will cause you to have victory in every area. And I'm real into victory. I don't like what doesn't work. I'm extremely picky that what I'm teaching is something that I have made it work. Okay, I'm very, very much like that. So what happened to me was as I sought the Lord, looking back and thinking about it, I realized he gave me two almost like separate tracks that I want to talk about. This may take more than one night. If it does, we'll do it again the next time we meet. But one of the tracks is the fact that you can enter into a long-term process, hopefully not too long-term, but mine has lasted many years, of continually being changed by seeing and dealing with what the issue is. A lot of times we just think we are the way we are. We leave it go and we continue to respond the same way. Some people, there's people in here, you respond, you just boom, out of nowhere, you get mad. You know, maybe no one sees it, but that's damaging to you. The Lord loves you. He's not mad at you, but he wants to help you be free from that. There's a process by which you can become so free that you don't have those same reactions or knee-jerk reactions or responses anymore. Okay? You can unhook the cause of what makes you be like that. Now, I know that sounds strange. So there's this process that God gave me. And what happened to me was I saw that there was something to be gotten in God that was attainable for every believer. I saw it with a clarity, and I knew any one of us that would follow God and seek after him and find his ways, walk in his ways, could have some things in God that most believers never walk in. And so for me, I decided I will do whatever that takes. I will go wherever he says. I will pay whatever price that takes. Is I will do that. I want to be different. I need to be changed. And I knew that the results I was getting weren't working. What most people do is they say, well, that's just the way it is. Maybe God will come through someday. Somehow I'll be changed. He'll push the magic change me button and I'll be different. But it doesn't work that way. If we want different results, we have to do different things. A lot of us look at God like he's just going to come in and change things for us. And we're waiting for him to come and do it. Okay? But the fact is, he's laid out real clear rules. It's like one of those little mazes. Go this way. Okay, now go that way. Do this. Do that. And we find the treasure by following his instructions, which are in the Word. Okay? But most people just look at God as though he's going to do it or not do it. And the fact is, he's already done it. And so one of the things he gave me, when I saw that we could have a relationship with him where we could walk into an open heaven anytime. And that's a reality for any believer that will go after it. But we have to get ourselves in a position to be able to do it. And I saw that there was an open heaven that he virtually gave to every believer. It was a promise. Come into the Holy of Holies by a new and living way. It was a desire of his. He wanted every person to do it. But most people have not learned how or spent the time to learn how or spent the time to do what needs to be done. Okay? Now that's a free gift he wants for everybody. One of the things I discovered was that the freer I became from strongholds, from emotions, from false belief systems, the freer I became, the more freely I could stand in the holy place. The more easily it became, the more easy, it's poor English, isn't it? The more easy it became for me to just go instantly. Okay? And so over the years, I started to press in with everything to be changed. All right? And one of the things that he showed me was that all of us are like a little bundle of of our past. We're a little bundle of all the things that have happened to us. We have hurts. We have things that were spoken to us that probably weren't right. That may have been a wound or a hurt. Some of us have had fears for a reason. Some of us have a past that has caused us to act the way we do. Some of us have a lack of confidence because we were trained to have a lack of confidence. Some people think that they can't accomplish because they were told their whole life that they can't. You see, so we respond to whatever we were trained to respond to. Now, all of us have a different personality, so we might react a little differently, but what God really showed me is that if we want to be free, and if we want to manifest Jesus, and if we want to be changed to be like him, that the best way was to present our package to him and say, what do you want to deal with first? Because if we look in the mirror in the natural, we're going to go, ooh, you know, I see 57,000 things, Lord. And we might try in our flesh to change them and become a better person. And the honest truth is when you try to do it that way, it's very frustrating. You may find a lot of failure and then may feel condemned because you haven't been able to do it. But the fact is, in our flesh, in our natural man, we don't have the ability to change ourselves. The one part we have to play is that we need to be willing at times to, you know, I'm going to say the dreaded word, repent. And I don't mean repent of some terrible sin. I mean repent of the way we thought before. Repent of the way we believed something. Repent of the way we disbelieved something in his word or thought something else was true when in fact this was true. We have to be willing to make the change. But also I found we have to proactively seek his face to say, what do you want to deal with in me? And what I found was that God, in all his grace and mercy, was as excited about changing me as I was about being changed. Not because he was condemning. God loved me as much then as he does now. It doesn't matter how much you hone yourself. He's not going to love you anymore. He loves you with an everlasting love that isn't dependent on how good you are. Okay? So we don't do this because he's going to love us more or somehow promote us because of it. But we do this because it enables us to freely receive and walk in the wholeness and the purity of God in a more easy way. And what I saw was that emotions were part of the the thing that were holding me back in God, because I was being so led by them. And so as I sought God, I didn't ask him to change all 57,000 things at once. I said, Lord, what do you want to deal with first? And the reason is he knows what layer needs to come off first. Because generally speaking, a lot of these things are interrelated. Some of you, even this week, had a reaction. Uh-oh. It's getting personal. There's people in, someone in here, maybe more than one, I think, who this week you had a reaction and later thought, why do I react like that? Right. What's up with that? Why did I think that way? Why did I say that? Oh, you ever say something to somebody and then later you're like, why, what, why? Well, what I've discovered as I sought God in this area is that we act the way we act and we say the things we say because of what we believe deep down, because of what's going on deep down in here, not what we're believing intellectually. We can believe something with our intellect. We can hear a rousing message on God's provision or God's healing power and say, yay and amen, I believe that. And in our mind we do. But if the revelation hasn't got to our heart, when there's trouble, deep down, our belief system is still going to cause our emotions to react. You may know, and of course, the older you get, the easier it gets, because you come to know God better and better. You come to know that he will always bring you through. But he likes to see you, as you pass these tests, he likes to see you pass with flying colors. I'm sorry to say that in my early tests, it took me a long time to pass some of them because I was still figuring this out. And I'm just, I'm an older person now. I'm almost 60. I've been serving God a long time. And so there's some things that are much easier for me now because I get the process. And I think he's just trying to give that to people so you don't have to go through all that stuff, go through as much. So what happened to me was I began a process of fervently seeking God to be changed, to be like Jesus. And that meant if I need deliverance, I want deliverance. If I have a stronghold, let's deal with it. If I'm believing a lie, show me. If I'm doing this wrong, God, I want to know it. I don't want to go on for years and years spinning my wheels and failing because I'm not seeing the truth. And so I really went after God with all my heart and spent a number of years praying into this. And the way that it would work with me is God would give me one thing to deal with. It might be a stronghold. It might be a false belief system, which I'll talk about that. I'll describe what that is. It might be a wound or a memory. But whatever it was, he would tell me that this is what we're going to work on this particular thing. And then I would spend time with him praying in the Spirit, and I'll say that in plain words. That means to me praying in tongues, because when you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is praying through you the thing that he knows you need. Okay? If you have your tongues and you don't use them, you're not giving, tongues isn't a gift just to go, woo, I got the Holy Ghost. No, tongues is a powerful heavenly weapon that enables the Holy Spirit to speak through you the will of God concerning you. Okay? And so I would pray in the Spirit. I would pray, spend time with the Lord. And sometimes I would see an instant deliverance. Sometimes it might take a day or two. Sometimes it took longer. But I made the determined effort. I don't care how long it takes. I am going to be different. I am going to be changed. I also was aware that I couldn't do it in my own strength. Didn't have the ability, didn't have the knowledge, but I knew enough about God to know he wanted me free because he loved me. God loves you every bit as much as he loves anybody else. God will show up at your door, but God does not, this is a funny thing about God, he doesn't volunteer it, he wants you to seek him. We have to seek him, we have to ask, and I like to ask very specifically. Okay, so one of the things I saw was that we act the way we do and we speak the way we do because of something that has happened to us that has caused a bit of a wound or a reaction. Sometimes a memory can cause a reaction. Okay, we worked with a man in the Philippines, a pastor. He had an orphanage. I think he had about 30 kids, and we actually visited and we took some some goods over to help, you know, to help with the orphans and also to do some street witnessing. And he was a dear man and he loved the Lord, but here's what we found out. He had grown up on the streets. And the only way he knew, the way only way any kid would know, how to get food or how to take care of his little sister. He had a little sister and they were virtually homeless. You know, they don't have the same system in place there for kids that have no parents. They don't have DCFS. They don't have any of that stuff. So they grew up on the streets and he learned how to, by hook or by crook, get food for him and his little sister. So he was very skilled in manipulation. Well, when he got saved, he's a wonderful man of God, and God has no condemnation for him. He knows how we grew up, and he knows we're a mess. But what we saw was that even as a pastor, he had not been delivered from using manipulation to get stuff. You know? Hallelujah. Now, he loved the Lord, was a great man of God, but had not been set free of manipulation. There's people in the church who have not been set free from control and try to make people do stuff. They try to get their family to do what they want them to do. They try to get God. They will control God. Well, good luck. God will not be controlled. You just smile. Hallelujah. Love you. But he won't give in to control. Control, it's a very, very negative thing. It's a work of the flesh. And as you know, if you sow to the flesh, you of the flesh reap corruption. That's what the Bible says. So when you sow to your flesh, whether it's control or manipulation or whatever it is, trying to fix the thing, that will actually reap corruption instead of God's freedom. And so what I saw was that oftentimes a memory is the reason we suddenly do or say something and later say, where did that come from? Why did I behave in that manner? You know, what caused me to do that? Now here's just an example God gave me. A person that was married, let's say married before or in a relationship before, and their spouse, whether the spouse is male or female, it doesn't matter. Let's say their spouse cheated on them and became known to be consistently unfaithful. Over time, let's say that thing ends. The person moves on and enters another relationship, maybe becomes married to a person who's completely different, is a lover of the Lord, loves holiness, loves faithfulness, but they come home late from work, and this person, because they were so used to being cheated on and hurt, every guard and every shield goes up. All kinds of fears, anger, strife, retaliation begin to manifest because they are still reacting to relationship number one. When this person is completely innocent, they be nothing like that first person, you see? So what we live through causes us to respond today to stuff that happened a long time ago. Right. Some of you have heard this story, but I feel like the Lord wants me to share it. I was working in the church office one day. I was just helping out, volunteering, and pastor was a man of God and just one of the nicest guys you could ever want to meet. Low pressure, he wasn't pressuring me, but he had asked me to, I think it was, type up a sermon outline. And I did that thing where I started to get real, like, weird. I'm sure you don't know what I'm talking about. But I started to feel like, oh, I got to get this done. And he's standing, leaning in the doorway, just chatting away. And I'm thinking, go away so I can do this. Go away so I can do this. Now, the man was obviously not in a hurry. He was obviously not under pressure. But in myself, I was feeling a pressure and a stress to get it done, get it done. And I finally said something. And he's like, he smiled, kind of laughed. He said, so what you're saying is go away and let you do the work. And I was like, man, I'm being rude. And I didn't know why I was acting like that. Now, this is not your problem, but I'm saying it so you get the method, okay? So what I'm talking about is sometimes you may have a behavior that comes out of nowhere, and you're like, why am I acting like that? Right. There is a reason. And the good news is God will show you if you ask him. So one day I was sitting in my car. I pray a lot in my car. And I said, God, what was that about? I have no idea why I behaved that way. I'm not a stressful person. I'm truly not. I'm not a fearful person. I don't know what the deal was. Why did I act like that? And instantly, God showed me a picture of a man I had worked for 22 years earlier. And this man was a big giant of a guy, and he absolutely hated it if anyone would come and ask him a question, because he was really busy. And if you went in his office to ask him a question, he would let you know that you were not wanted, that you were an interruption. And I was here, I was like this 19-year-old kid, you know, afraid of him. And what I saw was, don't bother him. You know, don't ask a question. And what God showed me by showing me that was, I was still reacting to that guy 22 years later. Somehow I had let a little bit of fear come in, and I was still acting according to it. Well, it took about a second to get free. I mean, it didn't take long to get free. I didn't have to pray deeply or anything. I just said, Lord, I repent in the name of Jesus. I break the effects of what happened with, and I said the guy's name. Lord, I have no business being afraid of any man. You do my work in Jesus' name. And it was completely gone. Many times deliverance is as simple as a two-sentence prayer. Seeing what really is the cause, breaking it, repenting away from it, because there's actually a lot of times legal things in the spirit.
Right.
There are legal hooks in the spirit that have to do with your life. And sometimes when you see that and cut it, it's gone. And you don't have to spend hours and hours, you know, casting it out and praying. Sometimes you do, but many times you don't. So a lot of times what happened to us before causes us to suddenly have these knee-jerk reactions. Sometimes a broken heart or a broken dream causes us to react a certain way. How many people have, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you've ever had a kind of a dream or a hope of something you really wanted to do in life, you know, and you so desired it, and then it just seemed like life went another way,
right.
You know? And it almost seems like maybe I missed that fork in the road, or, well, I guess that wasn't for me. And you begin to feel kind of sad and broken and even wounded. And in my case, crushed. I was crushed. I had something I really wanted to do, and it wasn't to be. It just wasn't to be. And so sometimes we are still responding out of that. Sometimes we're responding to something somebody said ages ago. My sister had a comment said to her by one of my parents. It was a flippant, quick comment. You know, probably didn't mean anything. They were probably just having a day. But, you know, when you're a little kid, what your parents say is almost like gospel. And it went into her as a wound. And years later, she would still talk about that one thing. But, you know, we don't have to stay in bondage to that. So the Lord began to show me ways of unhooking from the lie, okay? Because so many times the thing that happened caused us to believe a lie. One example is a child who is told that they're no good, or a child who is told they're not bright, or you'll never amount to anything. Well, that should never be said ever to any child. That's just not true. That's not God's will. But a child takes that, especially if it was spoken by a parent or an authority figure, they take that and they begin to say, oh, that's my identity. I'm not bright. I can't even say the words because I don't allow myself to say those things. But a kid will actually begin to believe they're slow when it isn't even true. So sometimes when we're faced with the gospel truth, God will show us the difference between the truth of heaven and what we have believed, maybe for years. And especially if we're seeking him, he'll often just put a light on, here's what you believed about yourself or your life. Here's what I'm saying about you. What I'm saying about you is all things are possible to them who love God, right? All things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't say anywhere what your intellectual capabilities are. The one thing it does say about your capabilities is that you have the mind of Christ. So I don't care what your background was. I don't care what they said about you. You have, if you're born again, you have the mind of Christ, who created planets, created your central nervous system, created the eyeball and the optic nerve, created atoms and molecular structure. There is no one in the universe as brilliant as him, but you have the mind of Christ. That's what the Bible says about you. And if you don't think that way about yourself, now you may understand, you may say, well, you know, I understand, I may have some limitations, but by the Spirit of God, I can access his mind. Because it says unto me, he said unto you, unto you, unto you, unto you, it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. In other words, I want you to know the mysteries. Those who are outside, I don't want them to know, so I speak to them in parables, but unto you, I want you to know. Ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full, right? He desires for you to operate at higher levels. He desires, some people don't have this fact yet, he actually desires, hopes for, fervently wishes for your victory. And sometimes, see, I used to think, well, the problem is God. Why doesn't he do it? Or the problem is the enemy fighting me. I didn't really believe God wanted victory for me. Because if he wanted it, why didn't he just do it? See, I did not understand the written word of God. I did not know truth in that area. And God began to shake me up a little and say, you need to get a clue what I really said. There are some things that he's given to us to do. When we do them, success is imminent. Behold, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. In other words, I'm going to show you always, every day of your life and just about every second of every day, there are options before you of life and death, blessing and cursing. Did you know that? Which channel to watch? Whether to turn it off? Go listen to music? Go listen to worship? Whether to go to church or stay home? There, every day, there are options, whether to read the word or be lazy. You know, those options are before all of us every day, and every day we're making choices. But as you continue to choose life, life begins to flow and release victory in you. And that is his will for every believer. You know, there's somebody in here, you still think that God's mad at you. I want to assure you that the glory of the New Testament, the glory of the New Covenant, is that all of the judgment that we deserve went on the cross, went in the body of Jesus Christ. The judgment of God was poured onto his body, his broken body. Now, some people may not believe me, but I believe that's why he said, Father, Father, why have you forsaken me? Father didn't forsake him. But I believe, you know, the Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us. He took our sins in his body. The Father doesn't look on sin. The Father looked away, and it was the first time in his life Jesus had ever known a moment of separation from his Father. Now, that's just my opinion of what happened, but I believe that that's what it means. So Jesus, who was absolutely perfect and knew no sin, took the judgment for all of our mess. So if you're going around thinking God is still mad at you, you're walking according to a lie. Anything that is contrary to Scripture is not true and brings death in your life, or brings failure, brings losing the battle. And that's why the enemy wants so much for you to believe a lie. And that's why his job and all of his imps, all their jobs, are to whisper lies to you to get you to disbelieve the truth of the word. And that's why it is so much the desire of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit that you get a hold of the word of God and go, wait a minute, I don't have to believe that anymore. He has redeemed me. I'm part of the redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I don't have to live that way. I don't have to think of myself as less. I don't have to walk in a lack of confidence. I don't have to walk in failure. You know, I used to really have a problem with what I'll call a spirit of failure. I don't know if it was a spirit or a mindset, but it was horrible. It was tormenting. It felt like, and it had to do with ministry, because I knew for years I was called to minister, years. And there wasn't a door open anywhere. And I felt like everything I tried to do with it was a complete failure. But you know, that was an enemy trying to talk me out of what I was destined to do, what I was supposed to do. And do you understand that's the enemy's job, to try to convince you that you're not fit, or you're not able, or there'll never be an open door for you? To try to talk you out of your calling, your position in Christ. To try to talk you out of the things that belong to you by covenant right. You gotta understand, some of you are still waiting for God to give it to you, and he is telling you, I have, you need to take it. I have given it to you by covenant right and by promise. And so God, boy, I'm telling you, this is not what I was going to preach. God has given us the promise that if we will take his promises, they belong to us. We actually own them legally. What Jesus did was a legal transaction. What he purchased for you and for me as a blood-bought child of God is covenant right. It's yours by inheritance right. Did you know that when Abraham and Lot, did you know that in the days of Abraham that the purpose of adoption was not to have companionship or because we want a son or daughter? Did you know that the purpose of adoption was so that you'd have someone to give your inheritance to? Yeah. God was looking for someone to give his inheritance to. When Abraham and Lot, remember, Abraham had no children. So he took Lot with him, the nephew. And they were very great. They were very rich. Their cattle became so great, the land couldn't even sustain them. So Abraham, being gracious, says, you pick which way you want to go. I'll let you have it. My opinion is Lot should have said, no, sir, you're the greater man. You pick. He should have done that. He didn't do it. From that time, Abraham begins to say to the Lord, who am I going to leave my stuff to? My servant? The guy that runs my house? I don't have a child. Prior to that, Lot would have been the intended to receive he would have been the intended heir. So adoption is the purpose of adoption, and the reason we have been adopted into his family or born again into his family is he was looking for someone to give the inheritance to lavish his love upon. And when you come from a different background, see, I came from a home where we didn't talk about God, we didn't talk about the Bible, I didn't know anything. So when I came with all the typical ideas that if God was going to do something, well, he would do it. I had no comprehension that he'd already done everything that I would ever need. That he'd already taken care of every need, every human need that could ever exist, and that he'd freely given it through the blood of his son, released it. When Jesus went to the ascension, remember, he ascended, and he put his blood on that holy mercy seat. And when he did, listen, it was finished. When he did, released from heaven was every gift, every fruit, the power of the Holy Spirit, every covenant promise for everyone that would step into it. And I'll tell you something else. It says he died for the sins of the whole world. That means anybody that would enter into covenant could be forgiven, could be healed, could walk in divine inheritance. That's amazing. What he did for all. And the Bible says once he did it, he sat down like, I'm done. And see, I had the mindset, he's going to come riding in on a white horse and save the day because my circumstances are so bad. I was still looking to him to come and do something. And years went by because I was so foolish. And I finally must have started asking the right questions. And he began to deal with me and say, you are operating by a false belief system and it's causing you to fail. You are believing incorrectly. There's some things I've laid out clearly in my word that I want you to do, and when you do them, you will have the blessing. Do you know that there's, I hate to use this word on you, but there are automated blessings in the Word of God? Amen. Automated. I'm just telling you, there's some things that if you do the if, he'll do the then. Period. Because it's not like, oh, this is not my message tonight, Lord, but I have to say it. I'm driving down the road one day and it's fall and leaves are falling and the Lord says to me, do you think that I sovereignly decide when every leaf falls from a tree? Now when God asks you a question, don't answer real quick. All right? You know you're dealing with somebody who knows what he's talking about. So I'm like, okay. Well, and I get to thinking. I said, no, I don't think you did because you said in Genesis you put a system in place for plants and trees that had seed in their fruit. It was a system that would go on by itself. You laid a system in place and took your hands off. And he said, that's right. Ding, 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 ding. You win. And I began to think about that, because if you start to think about how the Word of God works, there are some things that it says you can do to invoke a blessing, and that blessing will happen if you do the if. If we do what the Word tells us to do, we will have the results it tells us we will have. Okay? It took me a long time to understand that. But once I began to get it, I began to see victory in every area. And what I began to see was that God is trying to raise up a church to operate in a higher level. And he's actually releasing revelation back into the church. He's releasing truth back into the church so she can walk in the manner she's supposed to walk in before his return. Because if she doesn't get a hold of that, she'll continue to walk in failure like I did for so long. Okay, that was a total tangent, I just want to say. What I found out was... Sorry. I actually was going to do a PowerPoint. It just didn't come together in time, so you have to take it as it comes. God told me this over the years. There's two ways of dealing with emotions. One is the long-term process of working through your issues. And the great news about that is that as you unhook those issues, whether it's a broken heart, a broken dream, a wound, a memory, or a spiritual stronghold, whatever it is, as you press in and get those things unhooked, and I mean unhooked legally, okay? Because there's legal things that happen in the spirit, and you can unhook them, and that thing will never bother you again. What I found was that as I was set free from something, it was just gone. Gone, never to be seen again. There are some things that I got set free from that I don't even remember what that was like. Okay? And that's God's real desire. But that takes some time, and that takes a proactive effort on our part to say, I'm going to pray, I'm going to do what it takes until I am changed. There were times when I had to go on a little fast, but is it worth it? You bet. You know, I had some strongholds that I said, how do I get rid of this stronghold? He said, I want you to fast. He would tell me how long, what to do. Not a problem. Because if it means I can get free, you bet. So there's this long-term process of getting free. But what do you do in the meantime? What do you do with the big dog that's dragging you around? Because in the meantime, you still have daily events. You still have life and circumstances. Stuff happens. And what, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Let me just wait on the Lord for a minute. He began to teach me that emotions, a lot of people don't know this, and I didn't used to know it, emotions actually are obedient to your heart, okay? Emotions are kind of not real bright. And what I found out is that the way you speak and the way you believe on the inside will affect your emotions. Just give you a little example. The other day, I found myself being a little bit troubled in the afternoon. It was after lunch. I was working, and I remember, you know, sometimes you're trying to work on one thing, and there's like this nagging thing, you know, and it's like the enemy's poke, 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 you know, trying to get you to respond. And I remember thinking, where'd this come from? And I realized that at my lunchtime, I had talked to someone on the phone. They had asked me about something, and I began to tell them about some negative circumstances. Did you know that when you speak, your emotions go, oh, really? Oh, no. Oh, that's terrible. And they begin to go along with what you said. Right. So a few years ago, I actually started to see this, and I started to on purpose change what I said. Right. On purpose. And I discovered that the emotions, they're kind of dumb. They don't know the difference.
Right.
So just here, just I'll give you another example. Just happened to me this week. There's some things that I've dearly wanted to do in the Lord and in ministry. But the Lord dearly wanted me to do something else. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to tell you, a few years ago, I would have been real sad about that. I would have really, you know, I would have obeyed. Because my commitment is that He's Lord and I'm not. I would have obeyed, no question. But a few years ago, I would have been deeply saddened by it. And I probably would have spent some days going through emotional healing. You know. But this time, I said, you know what? I'm not going to let my mouth direct my emotions some other way. So I said, thank you, Lord. And this means giving up a dream that I had. You know what? I don't care. Because I know enough about God to know He knows what will really make me happy. And I know He knows what He's doing. And here's what's really funny. The thing He wanted me to do is actually something that I have a gift for. He just didn't want to do it. I actually have that gift. I just didn't want to do it. And so, as I made as I adapted myself to the new plan, hallelujah, I began to say, thank you, God, for a new opportunity. And He kept saying to me, for about two days, He kept saying to me, are you sad? And I was like, nope. Here's the funny thing. My emotions actually began to get excited about the new thing. Because emotions will do kind of what you say. So that's one reason, it's one of many reasons, it's really important not to continually rehearse aloud over and over the problem, the problem, the problem, the problem. Because it makes the problem grow and grow until it's really a big problem. And you can no longer have faith. Because you've made the thing so big and scary and awful. You know, and I'm just telling the truth. Don't get mad at me. Don't get mad at me. I'm telling the truth. When you continually say over and over what the problem is, first of all, you release that problem to happen because you have authority in the earth. Hallelujah, that's a different message. But also, your emotions begin to respond by saying, oh my God, how am I ever going to get around this? What can I do to make this work? It's so awful, it's so big. And you make it bigger and bigger, and then you talk about it more and more. Did you know that complaining causes a downward spiral? Did you know there's a scripture that says do everything without complaining or disputing? Did you ever think about that scripture? Everything? Even taking out the stinky garbage? Or the stinky dead chipmunk that died in my garage? I can't complain about that? I don't get to whine? Ew! You know, do everything. What about the jobs I don't want to do? What about if they made me work all kinds of hours and almost killed me with work? Can't I complain about that? But see, the reason He said that isn't to... Because, you know, some of you still have that rules and regulations thing about God. You have this grid through which you see God. Can't do this, I'm supposed to do that, I must do that. Oh no, He's mad, you know. Can we just take that grid and throw it out? And can we bring you to a place where you understand that the reason He said not to do certain things or to do other things is because He wants to bless you. He wants to see you rise up in victory and overcome the enemy and all his wiles. He wants to see you walk in greatness. He wants to see you're His child. He loves you. He loves you with an everlasting love. The reason He said don't do this or don't do that isn't because He was going to be mad at you if you screwed up. It's because He cares for you and He's trying to protect you from yourself. Hallelujah. You know, He had to teach me that so many of the problems that I had were of my own making. I was speaking certain things and especially believing certain things that did not line up with the Word of God. And I know some of you heard me say this, but this is what He said to me. He said, Holly, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. And then He said this, I have a system that's laid out in my Word and I'm not changing it for you. And I realized that I was trying to make God, you know, have sympathy on me and come to my rescue because I'm so pathetic. And I was pathetic. And I had horrible circumstances so bad I've never been able to really even share them. They're so bad. How do you like that? I had circumstances. And I thought God, who loved me, I knew He loved me, and I thought He should come and rescue me. And He was saying, I did, but you need to work my system. And He said to me one day, there's something you need to get, and when you get it, we will go on. And until you get it, we will not go on. In other words, if you work my system, you look in the Word and you do what I told you to do, you're going to find victory in every area where you do it. You're going to find victory when you do it the way I said do it, and you're going to find failure when you do it another way. And I don't want you to. I'm not telling you I want you to. I'm telling you, come over here. Choose life. Go this way. I've laid it out. Do it this way, you know. Sometimes when the Lord rebukes you, it's wonderful because finally you say, oh, I get it. The problem is me.
Right, right.
I get it. Hallelujah. I've been blaming you all this time, and it's me. Hallelujah. Blaming the enemy, blaming God, blaming the church, blame your mother. But really, a lot of times, it's how we perceive and operate in the Word of God. And so, back to emotions, one of the biggest problems with emotions is that if we've believed something that is contrary to the Word, for example, God is not going to meet my need, what am I going to do? Oh my God! But then we're confronted with Jesus who said, take no thought. God knows everything you need. He's going to take care of you. And see, what I found is that if we let fear freak us out, I mean, it's a fearful thing, you know. Those are real fears. Those are real issues, right? But what I found out by living through it was that God would allow me, because I didn't know how to deal with this. It wasn't His will to put problems in my life, by the way. But because I insisted on handling it my way, I was reaping the rewards of that. And you know what God will do? He'll wait till you look up and say, Father, I'm doing something wrong. Show me what to do. Show me how to fix this. What do I do? And He'll be like, I'm so glad you're finally ready to hear what I'm telling you. Because what I found was He'd been trying to tell me for a long time, but I had not been open to hear. I had not been open to hear because I thought I understood some things. Didn't. Totally didn't. See, when we're content to continue the way we have been, and we think we're doing it right, but we're continually seeing failure in a certain area, it's very likely we need to change some things. And again, God's not mad. He's going, come on up higher. Let me show you a better way. So one of the things that was really helpful to me was as I went through the process of digging into these layers, I didn't try to bring them all to God and say, okay, let's fix these, God. I went to God and say, I get it. I am not like Jesus. I have all kinds of stuff that needs to change. And that means emotional stuff. I had strongholds that I believe were demonic. I had thinking systems that were truly just wrong, but I didn't know it. And so as I pressed into Him, and as He would work with me, as I would pray, He would give me maybe one thing, one item, and say, let's work on that. As I would pray, I would get revelation, either through a scripture, or I would just know, or as I would pray, a stronghold would leave. I'll just give you one example, and then I'll close up. I think we've been going a while. I used to have, as some of you know, a gripping problem with condemnation. Some of you, as much as I've preached on this, still have it. You still feel guilty and condemned all the time. There's people, there's some people that I would love to see here that aren't here, but a stronghold of condemnation is absolutely crippling because it makes you feel all the time like you're doing it wrong. You're not doing enough. I should have done that. No matter what you do, it's not right. And you feel like God is not happy with you because of your issues, okay? That can actually be a demon spirit. And it's one of the most common tools He uses against people. And He used it against me, and I was really crippled by it. And I loved the Lord with everything in me, but did not have a revelation that I was being lied to. I actually thought that God was not happy with me. And I want to say this to you right now. God is happy with you. He loves you. He knows you're trying. He knows you're still here. You had many opportunities to quit, and you didn't quit. You're still here. You had many opportunities to give up and say, I'm not doing this. I can't do this. I quit. But no, you're still here. Hallelujah. And He's saying, attaboy, attagirl, you're still here. He loves you. And He's trying to change the grid of the way we think. Well, what happened to me was I had no idea that it was a stronghold. A stronghold can be a demonic thing that attaches to a lie. Okay? A lie or something that you've believed that's not according to the Word can be an open door, an access point for the enemy to hook into. Now, it doesn't mean you're possessed. Don't get excited. But it does mean that life will be very difficult until you get rid of that access point or break the hook. Okay? And so what happened to me was I was at an End Time Handmaidens conference many, many years ago. It's a huge conference, probably 2,000 people. And they were worshiping, and I went up in the front, and I was just standing. A whole bunch of people were in the front, just standing, you know. Some were dancing, were just waving arms, just loving on the Lord. And instantly, it was as though I was very, very deep in an ocean of water. Now, I've never heard anybody say anything like this, but I'm just telling you what happened to me. Jesus was standing there. He put his hand on my side, and he said, "Come out." And that thing left. Now, the interesting thing is, I still had a false belief system. I did not have my mind renewed to understand the truth of his complete forgiveness. So God spent 2 years teaching me and training me about the greatness of his forgiveness and mercy. And he even lovingly rebuked me, and he said, "When you say that your sin is so great that I didn't forgive it, what you're saying is that what my son did on the cross is not enough." You know, it was a good slap in the face that I needed. See, I was overestimating my sin, or my mistakes, which really, frankly, there wasn't a whole lot of that going on. You know, I was guilty about, you know, no reason, frankly, most of the time. Just guilty because. And he was saying, when you take something you've done or think or, you know, attitudes or habits, and you say, "Well, God didn't forgive me of that," you underestimate what Jesus did. And you underestimate his power. And God gave me that loving slap in the face so I would realize that in a way, through my unbelief, I was offending the cross. And I said, "I repent in the name of Jesus." And he told me this. He said, "I knew when I died for people, there'd be some people that would be delivered the day they're born again. For some, it would take a few years. For some, it would take many years. And there might be some that would go their whole life and have something they were never totally set free from. But I didn't say, 'Oh, no, not that one. Oh, I can't shed my blood for that one. They're just too far gone.' No." He said, "I never did that." You see? And through that, through the truth, see, what was he doing? He was renewing my mind to unhook from the lie, proclaim the truth and accept the truth as mine. And that's a legal transaction you need to do, whether it's about condemnation, whether it's about anger, whatever it is. Ask the Lord, "Why did I act like that?" Or, "Why do I, what's the cause of that problem?" You know, a lot of times people who have anger or are angry were put in a box too much all their life. Their boundaries were violated, okay? A lot of times that's where anger comes from. Is that someone, maybe more than one person, maybe the authorities that be, put you in a position where your human boundaries were violated. We're all given certain covenant rights by God. And when someone is put in a position where they're violated, they're going to react. But there's a healthy way to be set free from that. I'm thinking now of a book I read. Has anybody read the book, A Child Called It? Anybody read that book?
Yeah.
Stunning book. This young boy, for whatever reason, was disfavored by his mom. All the other kids in the family, she treated well, dressed them well, fed them well. He was literally tied on a chain in the backyard like a dog, thrown in the basement for days on end, starving. And if he went to get food, that's how the guy grew up. If he went to get food, he got punished. He would go to school so hungry, he would sneak into the cafeteria and steal frozen food and hide in the bathroom and eat frozen food. And then he'd get in trouble if she found out. He finally was rescued, thank you, God, became saved, became a wonderful man of God, and got healed enough to tell his story and set people free. God, I don't care what we've gone through, God can set us free from it. God can heal us, and he wants to. But if we just go along and ignore the thing, then we don't get set free from it. Some at times it takes courage to open up to open up our heart and say, "Okay, I'm ready to look at this. Okay, God, I'm ready to deal with this. I'm ready to look at the fact that I don't always do things right or that I have this issue." And here's the thing I want to say to you. Every person, every Christian has had issues, and needs to be dealing with their issues. So don't ever feel like, "Oh, I can't believe, you know, anybody saying I have a fault. See, if you're an unwhole person, if you're not whole, if you're not healed, it will be scary to you to deal with whatever your stuff is. I have a close friend, very close friend, that had some hurts in her early life, and it was so bad that she said, I cannot open that. I can't open that part of my heart. I can't open that room in my heart. I just can't. Because it was so fearful to her and so hurtful to her to even go back and think about those memories. She became a missionary, went to a foreign land, and in her house, she was renting this house, there was a room upstairs that the landlord kept locked. And in that room at night, there would be these terrible noises. And she knew something was going on in that room that shouldn't be, but she couldn't open the door. And I said, I think God's telling you, you need to let him in. And you need to trust God enough that he's not going to hurt you. He loves you. And he is the most gentle of counselors. He is the most gentle and loving counselor you could ever have. There's nothing that I wouldn't trust him with. You know, I've had to bring things to him and say, Lord, this should not be. I'm ashamed of this. Why is this here? Why do I have these feelings? What's this about? You know, God has never condemned me. He said, oh, come on, let's. I'll help you. See, I used to hide from God, feeling like, oh, I've blown it, too bad, or I'm not good enough, or how can I go in the Holy of Holies? Oh, God, I love you so much, but how can I come in when I'm such a crud, you know? And God said this to me one day, as loud as I'm talking to you. He said, Holly, I want to help you, but I can't help you when you stay outside of my presence. He said, see, you're going to go away, and you're going to hide from me for 3 days. And when you've made yourself feel bad enough for long enough, then you'll come back and say, oh, God, forgive me. He said, I forgive you now. He said, come in the Holy of Holies. Come in. I can set you free. I can clean you up, and I can deliver you from the thing that caused you to do it in the first place. I'm not just forgiving you. I want to set you free forever. So that thing is gone. And that's what he's done for me. And I'm not saying I've arrived. I'm not going to tell you that. There's still times when I'll catch something and I'll go, where do we need to deal with that? I'm dealing with that, Lord. What is that? You know, I'm never going to quit working on myself. I'm never going to quit bringing it to the throne saying, God, change me. Never. Never, ever. Don't you either. But God has changed me. I will say, honestly, if I had to put a percent on it, I'd be like I'm 96% better than I was back then. To the point where I actually have wondered, you know, I'd have a big crisis and I would have zero emotion. None. To the point where I had no emotion at all. And I was like, is there something wrong with me? But what had happened was he'd so freed me in that area that I didn't have to react. God will free us to a place where we don't have to live like other people live. We don't have to be like that. We can be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Where he can say, go here or go there, and we go, okay. See, think about Paul for a minute. He knew he had to stand before Caesar. The man had suffered shipwreck. He'd been beaten, left for dead. I mean, he had a tough, tough, tough life. I mean, it did not sound like fun to me. No, thanks. And on top of it all, he has to go before Caesar. Now think how much fun that would be. You're going to be judged by this, frankly, jerk. You know, the man was not known to be a nice guy. Okay? You know he's probably going to issue a death sentence. And what was Paul thinking about? I want to win him to Jesus. He had become so changed over the years. He had become converted. He had become renewed to where his priorities and his motives were clean enough. Now, I'm not going to say the devil probably didn't try to attack him with fear, but Paul knew enough how to deal with that stuff on a daily basis. You see, you're not where you're going to be. You know, you're not where you used to be either. You're not where you're going to end up. God has great things for you, and he has something for you that is wonderful and glorious. And he is so desiring to see you step into your position and not so you'll get something great done, you know, for him. He can raise up rocks to do what he wants. He doesn't have a problem with that. But because he loves you, he loves to reward you. He loves who you are. And he knows we're all in process. He knows we're all on our way. He has forever made perfect, Hebrews says, those who are being made holy. He has forever made you perfect in your born-again inner man while your outsides are being made perfect, okay? And when he looks at you, he sees your born-again spirit and all the loveliness that he put in there. In the very image of Christ, that's what he sees. So when you come and say, hey, you know, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you that I'm yours. Thank you that I'm coming to heaven, but I'm having this issue with my flesh. Would you set me free? Would you show me what that is and set me free? He'll never say no, never ever, okay, because he loves you. If I couldn't give you anything else tonight, the one thing I would give you with all my heart is the revelation knowledge of his love for you that will never quit. It'll never quit. You can't make him stop loving you. You can't make God stop loving you. Now, you can bring correction, and you can open the door to the enemy who will clock you one, but you don't have to. You cannot stop the love of God, and no one can ever take you away from his love. No one can ever take you out of his hand. Never. Never, ever. And if I could put that in you, I would. If I couldn't give you anything else, I'd give you that. Because if you have that, you won't be afraid to go to him with an issue or a problem or anything in your life. And you'll never wonder, is he going to help me? Is he going to come through for me? You would know that he would. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, so it wasn't exactly what I thought I was going to do, but hallelujah anyway.
Amen.
So thank you, Jesus. All right.